Good morning. How are you doing today?
Great.
If you notice, the title for the sermon today is the parallel to this, slippery slope, right? I just want to read a small definition here in my dictionary online about the slippery slope. And I think I found it here. And this is what my online dictionary is mentioning in reference to this word. It's a course of action that seems to lead inevitably from one action of result to another with unintended consequences. You know, you are doing something and you don't expect that your actions will create more consequences, and in many cases, they tend to be negative, right? It's like when you play with dominoes and you put one beside another one and then you push one, then they continue pushing everything online until they finally all fall. The year was 1985. And I remember this year because a very bad event happened to me. You know, we had memories and we kind of like connect with certain memories. Some are good memories and others are bad. But I remember that year, 1985, it was December, and it was a bad time because working with my family outside in our city, selling hot dogs and hamburgers and trying to make an income for paying for the family expenses, I have an accident. The small car that we use for heating the food was hit with propane. And my brother, who was working with me, my older brother, asked me, you need to turn on the stove so the whole system start warming up, the water and the vapor and everything, keep everything warm. And I just opened the container. I didn't smell anything. This match, I turned on my match, and the whole thing exploded. Because somehow the stove was open, and the gas was leaking for a long time, and we didn't realize that. So it was kind of like a small bomb, loud sound. I remember seeing this blue flame coming to me, covering my face a little bit, but then get really, really bad burning in my hands. My hair, my eyebrows were gone, everything, you know, kind of like, it was a really painful accident. After that, going to the hospital, and they do some small surgery, and, oh, you will be fine. 3 days later, coming back to the hospital because the skin died, and now I had water going under my skin, so they had to remove all the skin from my hands. And that's how I remember December 1985. You see, memories, connections. And so that action led me to be at home, and we were having at the time a problem at home with roaches. And my dad, we didn't have Terminix in Colombia, and my dad thought that a good thing to do for me, a person who has suffered serious burn, it will be to get a little gasoline and a brush and start put gasoline on top of the roaches in the kitchen and killing roaches. You know, that's an entertainment. We didn't have many entertainments in Colombia at the time. So here you go. Before he go to work, say, remember, you need to clean the kitchen and get rid of the roaches. So my dad goes to work, and my brothers are sleeping. It's like around 7 o'clock in the morning. Nothing else to do, so I start going into the kitchen, and I start moving the furniture, and right away, a lot of these tiny little creatures start walking everywhere. So I start my war against roaches, you know, spraying and with gasoline everywhere. And every single time that the gasoline get in contact with one of these poor creatures, you know, seeing them twist and pain and dying right there. Oh. You know, like, what a joyful moment. Getting rid of the roaches. And then I discover a huge roach in there. You know, Pastor, where are you going with the slippery slope? That's what I'm trying to explain to you. I saw this big one there, and I start putting gasoline in this big roach, and I guess it was too big. And stronger, probably the mom of all these little ones, that nothing happened. Yeah, keep walking and ignoring me, like, wow. And I didn't know what to do, so I keep putting more gasoline. And nothing. That one that was kind of resilient. She wanted to defy me, you know, despite all my efforts to kill her. That roach was a warrior. So I get the brilliant idea. Since she doesn't want to die with gasoline, it will die with fire, right? She will know who I am. So grab the matches and I said, let me throw a match in this creature and see, and you know, what can go wrong? You know, I'm being spraying gasoline everywhere and covered with gasoline. You know, nothing can go wrong there. You know, like, light the match and throw it in the roach, seeing the roach exploding, and then the fire started spreading in the whole kitchen. That was terrible. I remember my family waking up, my brothers screaming, my mom concerned with the propane tanks that we have in there, that they can explode. So the whole house was in chaos again. Finally, somebody go there to the back and turn on the gasoline, and somebody was drawing water in the floor to turn off the fire. We get the whole thing under control. But that's what happened to me. That was in December 1985. You know, I burned the lower part of my legs, and no major, only the hurts, you know. So I had very smooth legs after that incident. But in occasions, we do things without realizing that my actions can create a series of actions that it will lead to something terrible happen, right? It can happen to you. You are driving, and you make a mistake, and can cost your life. Like yesterday to this lady who was coming out of church here in Whiskey Road, and probably she didn't saw the white car that was going too fast and trying to enter in Whiskey Road and get hit, and she died. You know, that's a terrible situation that can happen to anyone. And can happen here at church. We are talking, or you are talking to somebody and you make a comment, unintended, and maybe somebody get their feelings hurt, right? Or maybe an action that I do, or maybe I forget to say hello to you. You know, I remember many years ago visiting a church and greeting all the members at the exit, and this sister passed in front of me, I extend the hand, and she just ignored me. Oh, it seems like sister such and such is upset with me. And I get concerned with that for days, you know, thinking maybe I say something, I don't know what I did. And I'm feeling so bad that one day I finally go and talk to her. Listen, I feel bad because the other day I was saying hello to you and you didn't extend your hand. And she started laughing and said, oh, don't worry, nothing to do with you. I'm having a problem today with my husband. And she told me that. But I was feeling bad because I thought that I offended her. You see, it is not that she's trying to say being mean to me or do something that offends me. It's unintended. It can happen everywhere. What about salvation? Do you think that we take actions that lead us to the wrong point on salvation? So please open your Bibles with me, and let's go and read a story here found in the book of Luke. It's in Luke chapter 18. And this story is mentioned by Jesus, and it's in reference to two persons who go to worship. They both go to the church, to the temple, and they both go with intentions of getting a connection with God, you know, asking for forgiveness. And something happened along the way that led them to different endings. And I want you to read the story with me. It's Luke 18, verse number 9. This is a story that Jesus created to present a point to his audience. So in verse 9, this is what he say. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trust in themselves that they were righteous, and they despise others. So what was the intention of the story? What was the point of the story? I just read it for you, but I will read it again, okay? Number 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So what was the problem of these people? They were thinking that they were better than the rest of the other people. Better in what sense? In a spiritual sense, correct. It's no better in the sense of having more money or having a better car. No, they were better in a spiritual sense. They were kind of like spiritual bullies. You know, and you will encounter these people in everywhere, in all the churches. People who will make you feel bad. Even if it's an intent that they will make you feel bad because they think that they are better than you. And they have a message for you and they can teach you and lead you into salvation. Pay attention to the story, because I think the deeper point is beautiful. It's for all of us. They were righteous and despised others. And the story goes like this, verse number 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. So they go there for what? Talking to God. Can you pray in your house? So why do you want to go to the temple to pray? Well, in part it's because it's an action of worship, right? You want to encounter your God in the place that you think you will find God. You come to this place exactly for fellowship, for companion, for brotherhood, sisterhood, and together we are singing, we are praying for each other, and we are trying to help each other, right? We should be patient and loving with each other. So they both go there and with this intention to pray and you know, have a moment, an encounter with God. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. So it seemed like one was a very honorable member of society and the other was somebody who was a little sketchy, you know, person there. Now the Pharisee is still and pray thus himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men. So his prayer is pretty much telling God how good is he, right? I'm here just to remind you that I'm an excellent person, an awesome. Everybody loves me, right? Does that sound familiar to you in our environment today when people claim like that? You know, like, everybody loves me. You know, like, well, you think so? That's good for you, you know, that's great. So he's telling God he's a great person, he's a great human being, and he continues saying, I know like the other extortionists, unjust, adulterers. So he started mentioning commandments, right? You know, I'm faithful to my wife, I don't rob anyone else, I'm not doing anything dishonest, I'm just trying to be a correct and just person. Thank you, God, because I'm like that. He continued, right? I fast twice a week, which is nothing wrong with fasting. So it's a good discipline. And I give tithes of all of what I possess. And the tax collector is standing afar off. So the other person, I guess, I assuming that they were separate. He was there praying, trying to pray too. Will not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. So that gives you an idea that this person is there and he is deeply moved by guilt. This is the kind of person who feels really sad talking to God. Right? Because you think that you have done something so bad, so terrible that you don't even know how to speak to God. Right? So this is a person that in his humility and I guess shamefulness, he's trying to talk to God. You know, and that's interesting because there's a lot of people like that today that they are very honest and very sincere and they won't talk to God because they feel like, man, I'm such a bad person that I don't think that God can listen to me. You know, I'm such a terrible human being that I doubted that God maybe pay attention to me. How do you ever feel like that? You know, if you are honest and sincere, we all feel like that in occasions, right? That we feel like I'm behaving really bad, that I don't know how my God will answer to me. So that's the kind of like the reaction that this man is having right there. Remember, they are both at the church. They are both trying to pray. But one is very optimistic, you know, kind of like glowing about his victories and all his things that he had accomplished. And the other one is overcome with this sense of incompetence, shortcomings, failure. How do you ever feel like that in your spiritual life? You know, Satan is a master to remind us about our failures, right? Don't get into that trap because the enemy will remind you. Oh, you remember? You're here to church. You remember what you did yesterday or the day before that? And he's punishing you and trying to destroy your mind and your confidence in God. I remember Paul is the one who say, forgiving all the things in the past, right? We need to move with confidence to the future, right? Because if we continue be anchored in the past, you won't move. You will stay there stuck. So this person is very humble, and he is very overwhelmed with the sense of guilt that he don't even lift his eyes to look at the heaven, right? He's looking down, and he's praying. And the other man noticed that, right? Let's go to that part, verse 13. And the tax collector standing afar off will not so much raise his eyes to heaven, but be his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why is that? Why he go justifies faster than the other guy? Well, in part is that, right? And probably you had heard and used the word oblivious, right? What the word oblivious mean? Remember, from English is second language for me. So any new word that I found, I encounter, I love that word. I think it's beautiful. You know, oblivious. What does oblivious mean? That you are not able to see your own circumstances or conditions, right? You can see other people's problems, but you don't see what? Your situation. I tell you a very embarrassing situation that happened to me. It's a true story. Denise don't like when I tell the story, but it happens to me many years ago, again, as a pastor, working in a church, greeting people outside the whole day. You know, everybody, okay, go home at the end of the sermon, and then when I get home and look at the mirror, I notice I have something white on top of my nose, right? Like, so all the members of the church and nobody bothered to mention, Pastor, you have a booger in your nose. Really? Nobody said anything to me? And that was a very sad moment in my life. You know, like, But that's what it means to be oblivious, right? You think that you are super cool and very handsome and everything. Yeah, hold on. Look at yourself first, right? In a spiritual sense, that happened to us too, right? We think that we are okay. We think that we are confessing our sins to God. We think that we are doing everything proper to get close to the Lord. Is that true? Think about that. I will tell you that Christians today, we had issues too with salvation. You know, in the past, people used to, well, even today, they used to talk about the Ten Commandments and use the Ten Commandments in the wrong way. And somebody used the word being legalistic. The word legalistic means that you are using the law for something that is not intended. The purpose of the Ten Commandments is to point us in the direction of salvation, right? To do the right things for God. The Ten Commandments doesn't do anything for one who had broken the commandments. In other words, if you are in trouble, you are in your own. They cannot help. That's not the sign for the Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments are not designed to help people to accomplish salvation. The other day, I was talking to somebody, and they were mentioning to me that a 15-year-old girl was having this nice, beautiful ceremony. I don't know if I told you this before. A quinceañera, which is a big fiesta with a lot of food and everything. But because they belong to the Catholic Church, they combine the fiesta with a religious activity. So they go to the church and they do confirmation, which is one sacrament. And I don't know if you are aware of this, but according to the theology in the Catholic Church, if you do the sacraments, you will accomplish or obtain salvation. So how do you feel about that? Can you do something that will help you to obtain salvation? Can you pay your way through heaven? Even if you are a kind human being and you like to help others and you like to give a lot of money to charities and, you know, I don't know, partake in different events and community and everything, can we do something to help us to you know, move the balance in our favor? And the answer is clearly no. But some churches will tell you, yes, you can do that. You know, if you do charity work and if you do good works, and that will weigh in your favor. And I had to caution you about this because the Bible is clear when the Bible says salvation is based on what? It's just grace. It's not based on your behavior or my behavior. It's grace. God despised me being such a terrible human being. It's offering me an opportunity to enter heaven. Not because I deserve it or anything like that. It's because he loved us. And his love moved God to give us this opportunity. So today we have different spectrums, different peoples with different ideas in terms of salvation. Let's talk about the Seventh-day Adventist Church because we are in a Seventh-day Adventist Church setting right now, right? I have encountered people in our church that they had the idea that if you do certain things, that will count for your salvation. Let me give you an example. We believe that it's important to take care of our bodies, right? We believe that it's important to have a good diet. Because if you have a good diet, that means that you will be without sickness and you will be able to worship and praise God better, right? We agree on that. Do eating proper or better food make you a better human being than somebody who eat bad food? It doesn't make you a better person. It made you healthier, right? But some people have this idea that if you are a vegetarian or if you are a vegan or if you eat healthy food, then you are a better Christian because you are now listening more to God. But remember, salvation is not based in actions. It's based on what? Again, in grace. That's one spectrum, right? The other side of the coin, the other side of the spectrum is people who will tell you, well, the Ten Commandments, they used to be important in the Old Testament, but today we are living under grace. You don't need to keep the Ten Commandments. It's just God is love, and He loves everybody, no matter what you do, right? He embraces in this amazing love. And in part, that's true, but it's also a distortion of God's character because you are disregarding that God's character had rules, and the Ten Commandments are part of His character, His holiness, you know, and the expectation that He had for every human being. We were discussing during Sabbath school, previous to this sermon, that today people don't want to submit themselves to God and be obedient to God. You know, pretty much we want to do whatever we want to. I have conversations with people, you know, in reference to obedience, and that's a word that we don't like. You know, why I need to set rules over me? You know, I just want to do whatever I want to. Can you do whatever you want to in society? Are you sure? Well, you can, right? But society will tell you, no, what you're doing is immoral or it's a crime or it's incorrect and you cannot do that anymore, right? And so society will tell you that it's rules for everything. This is one of the things that we're trying to teach our children, right? That not everything is fair in life, and that life has rules and you need to make an effort into trying to be within these rules and these regulations. So today you find among Christianity people who will disregard the Ten Commandments and say, no, you don't need to do that because we are under grace and God loves you and no matter what you do, God always will love you. Is that true? So God is obligated to save you or to save me despite my actions. Thank you, Gabriela. So God doesn't, because God loves you, doesn't mean that He's approving all what you do, right? And that's what I'm trying to explain my children, because when you are talking to kids, it's, you know, trying to present this balanced view of God. Yes, it's true, God is loving and He has forgiveness for us, but also He has expectations for us too. And this gospel and this message come with responsibilities. Among them, having a life of obedience and listening to God's voice and trying to do the right things, correct? It is no point to claim to be a Christian if you want to do whatever you want to and live like a pagan. What is the point to claim to be a Christian if you don't want to listen to God? But we are struggling to that. So you have today these different movements in the church and outside the church and people in different distortion views about God. You know, is God merciful and forgiving? Yes. But that doesn't mean that He will accept whatever you want to give Him. He has some expectations for us. Please go with me to the book of Titus in chapter 3. That was the reading that Denise was doing today. This is a very small book in the New Testament. And when you have a chance, you can read it at home. Very, very interesting book. And as you probably know, in the New Testament, you have a lot of sons. And here in chapter 3 is a portion of a hymn, like a son, that is recorded there, you don't notice because the original was in Greek and we have it in English, but the way that it's structured is like a hymn, like a song. So when you read, for instance, in verse number 8, this is what the Bible says. This is a faithful saying. And you will have to wonder, what is the saying? What is Paul speaking? You need to continue reading. And this thing I want you to affirm constantly. So it is important for you and for me to remember these details, and that's what he's giving us, right? That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. In other words, the message that is behind this verse, it is important for you. So let's go and read the message. And start in verse number 3. For we ourselves, we once were foolish, disobedient and deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So Paul now is telling them, listen, in the past, I used to be like this. And now keep in mind that Paul was a very religious man. He was a Jewish person. He was trying to keep the law and the commandments. But he was a very hateful man. He persecuted people. And he condemned people to death. And he enjoyed that. But then later, you know, he needed like a special revelation from God. After he encountered Jesus Christ and have this encounter, this revelation, he realized all the mistakes that he had done in the past. And that, I think that was overwhelming for Paul. Realizing that all these things that he thought that he was doing in the name of God, they were wrong, right? Persecuting these people, sending them to jail, and even participating in the death of some of them. So Paul continues saying, we used to do these things in the past. Now, verse 4, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. So what is Paul talking about here? Who is the kindness and love? It's Jesus. Jesus Christ is the incarnation of these feelings and these thoughts, right? But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appear, not by word of righteousness which is we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now continue reading. Whom he poured out in us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become their heirs according to their hope of eternal life. So that's the saying that Paul wants you to remember and keep in your memory. There is true that we are bad people, that we are no much better than others, but because God loved you and he had compassion in you and me, he has given us salvation through Jesus Christ. And that is a constant reminder for you that we should be better. These thoughts, these ideas should help you to be a better human being. You know, when people think about changing, you know, the majority of us, we are a little cynical, right? How you deal with somebody that have an issue with addictions or when smoking or any problem, and the person is telling you, oh, now I'm quitting. You say, uh-huh, good, yeah, we think that you can quit. But in our minds, we are thinking, no, you are not, right? You will continue being the same person like you always been. Can a human being really change? That's my question to you. Can a person change? Well, humanly speaking, if you talk to a psychologist today, they will tell you, no, you pretty much are what you are at your age. You are already set in your ways, you know, that your character and your behavior, that's what you are. But now I'm speaking to you about a supernatural event that happened in the Scripture, which is called the power of the grace of God that can help you to change. This is not a human thing. This is a divine thing. This is God's power working in you and working in me. And I don't care how old you are or how young you are. I tell you that we all need a space for improvement, right? And if you are honest and sincere with yourself, then we realize, yes, I need things that I need to surrender to God and allow him to change. And that's what I want to share with you, because that's part of my struggle too. So I think God can help us all. Amen? Amen. This power is available to you by faith. Just every day claiming it to God and asking him to help you to be a better human being, to be a better person. And he will continue to help you. The problem is, as always, we are a little impatient, right? We want to rush. Many years ago, my father took me to a ranch, and we had some cattle in there. And when the cattle, the cows and the bulls and everything, they had trails, and I remember there in some of the trails you have these big puddles of mud and water and excrements and many other things that I don't remember, but they have this nice kind of like dark brownish color, and the cattle pass through there, you know, every day. And so my dad was telling me, you need to go there to this corner of the field and start pushing the cattle. So I go there, you know. I remember I was maybe like 10, and I spent most of my life in cities, so I didn't have a lot of experience going to the ranch, to the farm. So I was trying to move the cattle and back, and I noticed this beautiful puddle there, and I thought, ah, it's probably not that deep, right? So I take one step into that thing. Man, and my knee was getting there, and I realized I'm in trouble, right? Because I already had one foot, and it's stuck in there. Have you noticed that kind of mud that is so thick? Then I moved the other foot and put it in there, and now I have the 2 feet inside of the mud. Now I don't know what to do, you know, like you are trying to balance in there. Finally, I was able to free one of my feet, but my shoe gets stuck in there. And I can't go back home without shoes. They were really expensive. They would kill me. So what I need to do, put my hand in the mud and trying to get. I rescue one shoe and then move the other feet and the other shoe get in there. Oh, man, it's like everything is going worse and worse. Put my hand, finally grab the other shoe. At that point, I was covered in mud and all this nastiness. I finally made it alive from that place. And I remember when my dad looked at me and said, what's wrong with you? You know, what happened? I sent you to push the car. I didn't send you to go swim in the mud. So I had to tell him the story, that the accident and everything, getting the car all nasty and going home. You know, my mom getting really upset because the clothes and everything. But it wasn't unintended, to be honest. I messed up without thinking about it. And that can happen to all of us, right? You are walking happy and all holy to work, you know, thinking about Jesus and the grace of God. And this race of lies coming over you. You know, you hear the angels' voices. And then right there, your co-worker start talking about you. You know, and right there, your behavior start changing. You know, no more angels' music. Then you start hearing the thunder and all these things that we do, right? Be careful, because it happened to all of us. You know, this is a daily struggle. It's a battle that you will confront every day. It's not intended. It's just that the enemy never stopped. So may God give you grace and encouragement to continue in your daily journey. Amen? Heavenly Father, today we want to ask you to keep reminding us, O Lord, of your salvation, to be compassionate and loving and kind with each other, and, Lord, to confess and surrender our lives to you. Help us to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen.